Welcome back, everybody, to the 20th episode of We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean. Across the way, Danny, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. 20 episodes, huh? One more. And if it was a girl, we can get her drunk before we have sex instead of just having to drug her.
That is true. I mean, fun fact, Danny, if you wanted to drive from a gas station in North Platte, Nebraska, you could drive to L.A. and you could listen to all our shows and be there.
That sound, I don't know, like, I guess that would be fun because A, you're getting out of Nebraska, and B, you're listening to our show, so I guess there's a double fun fact there,
exactly.
At least double on the fun.
Exactly. You get to drive through Denver, stop at Salt Lake City, visit Vegas, and then hit LAX. I don't know,
much
more fun you could have with that.
I don't know, man. Based on your, I'm more on the line of the theory of the band The Dwarves. And the fact that, you know, as they have a song talking about expressing their love to a female and saying they would do pretty much anything that she would want them to do except go to Salt Lake City.
You never know.
So, I mean, if it's that bad that they would write a song about doing anything except going to Salt Lake City, I guess the Dwarves are my senpai in this matter.
Gotcha. I mean, she doesn't want to be, like, the fifth wife or something?
I don't think so. I mean, that seems like too much work. Like, you know, there was a, you know, question that sometimes people ask, is like, would you rather have a supercar or a supermodel? And the correct answer to that is you always choose the supercar because it's cheaper to maintain and it attracts more supermodels.
Oh, boy. I lied. It's not Salt Lake City. It's just some other junction. Google had a very important circle on there, so I just assumed, like, the only big circle that was in Utah would be Salt Lake City because that'd be the only place, and it's not, so I apologize.
See, Google lives by the law of the dwarves. You don't have to go to Salt Lake City.
Exactly.
So, my wife and I have been watching America's Got Talent. This is the first season. I've been watching it, and, you know, we've been DVRing it, so I haven't watched last night, like, this week's episode yet, the fourth week of the tryouts, basically, to see if their pattern is holding true. But the first week, it started with a chicken that can play piano was the very first act. And then the last act was they got straight through to, like, the live shows. And then the second episode was a dog that barked, like, numbers. If you said, what's 2 + 5, it'll bark 7 times.
Yeah.
And then the last one went straight through to the final episode. So as we're getting ready to watch the third episode, I asked my wife, I said, so, based on the first two episodes, the first act should be an animal act, and then the last act will be straight through to the next round. She's like, well, that makes sense.
Yes.
So we turn on, we start watching the show, and a black guy goes out on stage first.
Oh, jeez. Terrible.
And I look at my wife, and she just looks at me and she's like, don't you dare say anything. I'm like, why am I the only one that notices this? That America's Got Talent is blatantly racist.
You know, that is fair. I mean, they were definitely starting with animals. But geez, to pull, I think it was just coincidence, Danny. You observed something happening, but it wasn't true.
I guess. I mean, my OCD is that I observe patterns, and, you know, you do it once, you do it twice. You know, when you do it 50% of the time in the beginning, it's starting to form a pattern, is all I'm saying. I'm not the one that makes these rules.
Maybe they just ran out of animals and, like, they were just like, let's get the animals out of here. We'll do them first. That way it's like, oh, an animal. Then we can pack that animal out and get rid of them so everybody could stop taking their allergy medicine.
Right. Well, they did have another animal act of, like acrobatic dogs. But they weren't the first. They should have been, like, the first one to go on the third week. Unless, I guess, maybe the person behind the show was like, maybe we don't need to have an animal act to start the show every week.
Maybe.
But they didn't need it to be a black guy either, is all I'm saying. I'm just saying, in this time of, like, I'm with all these social justice warriors and everybody that want to, you know, all these white people that want to let other people know that something is racist, I'm surprised nobody else has done that.
Danny, you're one of those people. You're calling racist. You're exactly one of those people.
I am. But I think it's hilarious. I'm not trying to make them stop. I think it's just like, I'm just more surprised that like somebody else wasn't triggered is my point.
Unfortunately, you're incorrect.
That there's a pattern or that nobody was triggered?
Nobody was triggered. Nobody was bright enough to spot this but you.
Right. So, I don't know what to say about that. I was hoping to see some more controversy about it is all I was saying. My point on that story was I was hoping to see them have to like come out with some sort of apology or something or trying to get somebody to pull the show off the air because it's super racist, and none of that ever happened.
Danny, you're that person at the high school party that's just starting to cause shit for no reason.
Duh.
Nobody likes you. This is why we have no ratings for you.
Probably. I mean, you know, I guess I got like one of our listeners and you got like your family listening, so I guess there's and you're abusing your power at work to make other people listen.
You know what? At least I'm not at least people like it supposedly.
Again, it's you know, your mom and dad and people that you can fire are not going to say that they hate your show.
Fair enough. And when you put it when you make it like that, I guess I have nowhere to argue.
Touche. So, moving on to, I guess, lighter and more fun topics. The two directors that were directing the Han Solo solo movie basically left. I don't know if they were fired or they just kind of like quit before you could fire me, you know?
I thought we were going to more lighthearted topics. I don't know how this is lighthearted.
Well, they did direct 21 Jump Street and the Lego Movie. Those are pretty funny.
All right. Yeah, that's true. Did they do the Lego Batman movie then as well?
No. They just did the original. I think they're directing this movie instead of doing the Lego Batman movie, but I guess more lighthearted because they're both white, so it's not racist.
I guess so. I mean, it's like they made the Batman character, and then somebody came along, stole that character, and made a whole movie about it.
Exactly. They're like, look how awesome we made Will Arnett as Batman, and someone's like, no, you guys can go do something else, because we're just going to make this movie behind your back.
I made this. The theme of the internet. Stealing
exactly.
Stuff.
Isn't that what the internet is for, is to claim credit? That's what Gallo Boob on Reddit, his whole, like, persona is just reposting reposts.
Kind of like those people at Frankenmuth that know how to print onto on styrofoam canvases of everybody's artwork.
Exactly. I guess by them putting it on the back styrofoam backing, it's not completely stolen because they actually had to, like, put some material into it.
Yeah.
But anyways, I guess they were fired, and a lot of the anti-Disney, anti-Episode 7 people were like, you know, talking about how, of course, you know, they got fired because, you know, Disney is just fucking things up, and they probably wanted to make a great movie, and Disney stepped in and said, no, you can't make a great movie.
Yes, because that's, I think, what everybody thinks of when they try to put, like, hundreds of millions of dollars into something is, I want to just spend this money and have it fucked up.
Exactly. Like, I was reading a thing in there talking about how, like, they probably wanted to make Han Solo a lovable, you know, goofball when he's, you know, not really. He's just some dude that just happened to, like, you know, fall for a chick and change his ways. You know, every guy's done that at some point, I guess.
True.
But, you know, reading from what I've been reading, it's almost the opposite, is that these guys have, you know, kind of more like an improv comedic style of directing, and the guy that wrote the script, who wrote Empire Strikes Back, Raiders of the Lost Ark, him and his son wrote this movie, and I guess they kind of favor a strict adherence to what's in the script and what the scene is, as opposed to more of the freestyle kind of ad-lib stuff that was, you know, especially prevalent in like 21 Jump Street or any, you know, Will Ferrell type movie where they just, you know, film for an hour and they get four scenes because they just keep riffing on each other's lines. So, you know, there's a lady, Kathleen Kennedy. She's basically like the Jeff Johns of the Star Wars universe, where she's kind of making sure, and the Kevin Feige, where she's making sure they all kind of fit a theme. And so, you know, they have a couple different possible directors, but the movie was pretty much done. They only had a couple weeks left in filming, and they kind of had a short hiatus to review what was shot. So it looks like it's just a matter of, you know, these guys trying to maybe make the movie more funny than it should have been, and do some more ad-libs, you know, because Han Solo does have the greatest ad-lib in all of the Star Wars movies with the "I know" reply to "I love you," but that doesn't mean we need a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been a fun movie regardless, and it's kind of weird that they would fire them after all this, unless it was kind of like, hey, we got everything shot up, just like, we're tired of dealing with these fucks, let's get them out of here, we can hire somebody to do the editing portion, like, or we don't need a director for that piece, we'll just leave it with the producer or something.
Right, one of, like, the rumors is that they might even just have the second unit director step into the directing booth, since he's pretty much been there the whole time and kind of knows what's going on, and he might even be more cooperative, knowing that this could be his big break to have his name on a big budget movie and maybe be used for future reference as far as other movies. So
they're getting robbed again. It's like he made this movie, and then the new director, I made this movie. It's all mine.
Exactly. Like they'll get their money, but they won't get their name on the film at the end. So, you know, it's kind of like Edgar Wright went through all the work and all the setup and everything for years trying to push Marvel to make an Ant-Man movie. And then like couple weeks before the movie started filming, he stepped aside and they brought a new guy in and kind of kept some of the Edgar Wright script in and, you know, got rid of some of it. So that's a lot of people I know are still a little sad girl about that and won't kind of refuse to watch the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see when this movie does come out, what changes were made, if we even notice, or if it's, there's a, you know, some parts of the movie that are dark and dreary and other parts that are, you know, more comedic and funny. Cause you know, they do have the Childish Gambino as Lando Calrissian. So not saying cause he's in it, it has to be funny, but he is well known for his comedic and rapping chops.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'll be interesting how they wrap up the rest of this together. That movie is due out as well next year, right?
Yes. So, you know, episode 8 this year and then Han Solo movie next year.
Exactly. Not too bad of a lineup. I definitely... I'm definitely enjoying how Disney is pumping out some movies more back-to-back and keeping things a little fresh. I think it was kind of an interesting idea. I think it's kind of just like the Marvel idea, right? You do your Avengers movies every couple, 2 to 3 years, and then you fill it in with a few solo movies in between. Not too shabby.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, a lot of people are upset because it's like, well, these are just obvious, you know, the Rogue One and then the Han Solo movie and then then the last one to be done is going to be the Boba Fett movie, where, you know, a lot of people are like, well, these are just blatant cash grabs for people that, you know, are suckers and want to give their cash to Disney. And my response to that is, why are you saying that like it's a bad thing? Like, Rogue One was really good. I mean, everybody knew how it had to end.
Yeah. It was still
a good
movie.
Between was, right, it was a really great movie. Like, some people complained that they didn't have enough character development, but it's like, did you really need that much character development other than they're all going to develop a case of death at the end?
A case of the kills. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why you would complain about it. I mean, it was a pretty solid, it was a solid movie. It was very enjoyable and everybody wants to kind of see, like, Han Solo on his own, and I for sure want to see Boba Fett going out fucking killing people and causing some mischief. I mean, I think he's a badass character, and I think it could be a pretty cool, just little, more of a PG-13, R-rated Star Wars because of the world and that he lives in. It will never be rated R, but you know what I mean.
Right. It'll be, well, like, Rogue One was a little bit darker than, you know, the other Star Wars movies, even though it wasn't rated R. But, you know, when they announced the Han Solo movie and they were talking about it at Comic-Con, you know, one of the previous directors made a statement that in this movie, you'll see where Han Solo got his name. And true, you know, to nerd fashion, the internet took it literal and was like, but wait, his name was always Han. That's not a nickname. What are they talking about? And then, you know, buried deep in the comments, someone was like, I think they meant how he earned his reputation as a top smuggler in the galaxy, not how he was given his name Han Solo.
It wasn't a literal sense of his name.
Yes, so they took it literally that of how he got his name, not how he got his reputation. So, you know, that kind of stuff is just kind of fun to, you know, reread, you know, in hindsight when you see all these people and they're crazy literal, like, trying to read too much into a five, you know, there's a 5-second teaser trailer and someone's trying to write, you know, 15 things you may have observed in this latest movie's trailer. And it's like, was there even 15 scenes in that trailer? Like, it was 5 seconds long, bro.
Oh, man, it happens. You just gotta ignore it.
Or just take it for what it is and just don't take it too seriously and just, you know, maybe while you're drinking, just laugh at everybody that is taking it seriously.
That is true. That's what we're good at, just sitting back with a beer, mocking people.
Exactly.
Speaking of a lot of controversy, an article came out that we posted up on the Facebook that Microsoft is asking PlayStation to come hang out on cross-platform, and Sony just wants to be friends and not tie the knot. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Well, like, they've already kind of, I guess, partnered up with Nintendo and the Switch on a couple things, and so, you know, the guy from Sony's response was kind of interesting, talking about how, like, you know, you don't know what could happen with the Microsoft servers, and that his main interest is in protecting the Sony players and not having to worry about what's going on Microsoft's side, which is pretty ironic considering that Sony seems to be getting the one getting hacked the most.
True.
So, like, what are they worried about? Are they worried about the reputation of Microsoft of having a bunch of 13-year-olds banging people's moms, and they're trying to protect the Sony players from their moms getting banged by an army of 13-year-olds?
Maybe. I did. It's an interesting read, and maybe it's just, to your point, maybe Sony feels like it's best for them to cut the damage if they feel like, if they have somebody sneak into their security system again, and they get all those accounts from Nintendo and Microsoft, like, how big of a blow is that going to be when those accounts are kind of more linked up and there'll be backdoor app ways to get into the different servers?
No, I mean, that is true, but I don't know. It seems like Microsoft and Nintendo seem to have better security, so maybe they can work up and, as part of the partnership, go over and show Sony how to stop themselves from being hacked as often.
That is true. And in the article, they do talk about how the PlayStation 4 is selling better than the Xbox One. And I assume that's just due to some of the exclusives out there. We talked about it last week. Xbox exclusives have just been a little bit more, just not as good as some of the exclusive on the PlayStation side. So it's interesting to see if maybe this is just a power play in general to say, hey, we're selling so good and we're going to keep building that PlayStation network. We don't want people to settle for Xbox and be able to play with their friend on PS4.
Right, and that's the thing too, is like, you know, like, we'll use Destiny as an example. Like, we, you know, we played Destiny on Xbox One. For Destiny 2, we were planning on getting on PlayStation 4, except, you know, one person that decided to go rogue and get it on the Xbox One. And so they could, you know, if the cross-platform was possible, it wouldn't matter what console we got it on, because we could all get it on, you know, varying consoles, depending on if you want the awesome exclusive stuff or you just want to be a scrub on the Xbox. But at least then we can, you know, play cross-play, I guess, everything except for the exclusive stuff.
Yeah, I think to your point, I mean, it would have made it a lot easier and and whatnot in our case, and it would be fun because I think it opens it up for games that have like raids. So when you talk about Final Fantasy 14, you talk about this one, you talk about Elder Scrolls Online, list goes on and on and on. I mean, it just makes it more people, easier to get into groups. Obviously, the games are going to have the same kind of flaws regardless what system it is. If the raid sucks, the raid sucks on both platforms. I know for a lot of games that have to deal with like tanks and healers and stuff, you still always have like way too many attack people. You don't ever have enough support people, so I guess that part doesn't really matter anyways if it's going to be on Xbox or Sony's PlayStation.
Right, and you know, a lot of people talk about with that maybe Sony just doesn't want to help, you know, Microsoft sales or maybe even possibly take sales away from themselves by allowing, you know, the games to be cross-played. Then it won't have people a reason to buy a particular console. Mm-hmm. If they want to play with their friends, they could have, you know, because I know people that, you know, they'll buy the games on both consoles so they can play with different groups of people, but not very many people do that. So there's not really necessarily a need to cross-platform the consoles, yeah. At least from Sony's side, because they're, you know, the number one selling console. I mean, for about a month or so, the Switch passed them up, but that was very short-lived, and Sony has redeemed itself as number one selling console again.
Yeah, I think, I think Sony is just reigning supreme this year. I don't blame them for not wanting to limit their sales and stuff. I think Microsoft was king for a while there, and Sony's finally been able to get a leg up on the mic on that. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Xbox One X, to see how that does that change the tide. I think we talked about it last week. I mean, if you buy the new Xbox One X, you got to buy a 4K TV. And then I guess you have to have a certain amount of reliability in your internet to be able to run some of those games at such a high definition. So I don't know if it's going to really turn the tide, or I think the PS4 Pro is going to keep above the Xbox One X.
Right. And I was watching an interview with Phil from Microsoft, you know, post E3. And he was kind of asked about, you know, the Xbox One X and the number of sales and stuff. And he was like, you know, look, he was like, we have three consoles right now with that, counting the Xbox One X. You know, our goal is to have something for everybody. You know, we're not necessarily super concerned about console sales because, you know, basically we're practically taking a loss on every console sold. We make our money on, you know, the games that are sold. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if that statement is accurate, and if he's not just trying to, like, shine on the fact that they're not the number one selling console anymore, then that definitely would add more support to what Sony's stance is as far as not wanting to cross-platform, because then they potentially are losing out on those sales of games and that profit to make up for the loss of profit on the sales of their consoles.
No, I think that's a pretty fair argument.
You know, because they wanted to put Final Fantasy 14. It's on, you know, PC and the PlayStation, but they wanted to put it on Microsoft. You know, they originally had Final Fantasy 11 available on the Xbox and the PlayStation 3 and PC, and they were all able to go in together and play on the play the same game together. It didn't matter, you know. But part of that, the big reason for that was, like, when you're playing on the PlayStation, you know, you go into the game, and then once you get into the game, you're no longer on Sony servers. You're on Square Enix's servers. Mm-hmm. So if, like, the PlayStation network goes down and you're in the game, you're in the game fine. But if you log out of the game or try to log into the game while the PlayStation servers are down, then you can't get in. Mm-hmm. And so Microsoft told them no to playing on this generation. And they've kind of doing a push within the last year or so, again, of trying to get Microsoft to jump on. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft wants to keep them on their own servers. They don't want to allow them to go off of the Xbox Live grid onto the Square Enix servers, even though there really hasn't been a problem. As far as, like, nobody's been hacked. I mean, there's been, you know, some DDoS type stuff, but nothing really as far as hacking or anything like that. Right. So, you know, speaking of Final Fantasy XIV, they just had their new expansion, the release on the 20th, which was, as we're recording, yesterday. And they had early access for people that pre-ordered starting on Friday the 16th. And so, pretty much, you know, I didn't really get a chance to play it too much. And a lot of that was because, you know, looking at different things online between Reddit and Facebook, there was a couple of quests where you kind of had to go and get instanced into it. And it was just between, there was just so many people trying to get into it that the game was crashing. They were getting kicked out of the game, the, you know, multiple hour waits. And so, you know, I finally got a chance to go in. I went a little bit Sunday evening, and then yesterday, on Monday, I played, you know, figuring everybody was done and I didn't have any issues. But then, you know, once the game launched to the general public, you know, people were, you know, kicked out of the game, and then they're trying to get back into the game and said that they were like 1,000th player in line trying to get into the server that I'm on for the game. And so later that evening, Square Enix released a statement saying that there was no necessarily not a, the problem wasn't with their servers or the number of people playing. It was that they were hit with a DDoS attack.
Hmm.
You know,
that's pretty shitty.
Right. And the same thing kind of happened with the last expansion, I guess. People, or at least they claimed it happened. So I don't know whether it's just they were ill-prepared for the number of players, either, like, because they did a big, huge push of trying to get players to return that hadn't played for a long time. And, you know, generally when there's a new expansion, you know, as you're familiar with Destiny, you know, people who hadn't played Destiny for a while came back whenever, you know, like Rise of Iron.
Yep.
Would happen, and they'd come in and do their thing, and then they leave again. You know, the same thing with Final Fantasy. There was a lot of people that hadn't played for months, you know, coming back. And so they gave them a little icon next to their name so you can tell they were returning players. And, you know, there was more returning players than there was new players for the first time that I'd seen for a long time. But then on top of that, they've also expanded the free trial time that you get. Because before it was just like 15 days. Now it's 30 days or up to level 30. So, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of people, you know, their friends hyping up the new expansion of Final Fantasy 14 and trying to get them other people to come in and join them. And so, like, well, it's free, I'll just check it out. So I don't know whether it was just a large influx of people coming in and trying to do the new quests or just on the servers, or if it was, you know, Square Enix actually was hit with the DDoS attack. You know, because last month, they switched all their servers. They were in Canada, and then they switched them to the West Coast to try to, you know, help speed up latency and hopefully stop people from getting a lot of lag
mm-hmm.
when they're doing their different moves and different effects going on in the game. So I don't know, maybe their servers were ill-prepared to handle the stress. So apparently they ran a maintenance and they fixed it. I just haven't had a chance to jump on today, so I'll have to see how that goes. But as of this morning, it was fine. Just nobody hasn't been tested under heavy loads, which, you know, and it should be happening relatively soon with people getting off work and jumping on the East Coast any minute now, pretty much.
No, it makes sense. I heard the same thing. I heard it was really hard to get in. And I heard they did they nerfed one of the classes, and somebody I know is not very happy about that, one of the healing classes.
Right. They've kind of did some changes. They've they pretty much nerfed every class. Like, they kind of changed the took away some of the less used skill actions and skills and made it so that you don't have to necessarily level up side. Because before, you'd have to, like, you know, you'd have your main job. Like, I'm a dragoon in the game, so I had to have a lancer was my main, and so I had to have that to level 30. But then I had to have the pugilist, which is basically just like a boxer, to level 15 to unlock dragoon. But then I also had I could level up pugilist and gain the skills that pugilists use. But then there was also a third class, and if I leveled that, then I can use skills from that. So basically, if I wanted to have every available skill and action for my character, I had to level up three classes. of jobs, and so they kind of wanted to make it a little bit easier for new players to come in, that, so they don't necessarily have to spend so much time catching up.
Yeah.
And then they can kind of just jump into the story a little bit easier. And then for the new expansion, they added jump potions, so you can pay to jump to different levels. Like, you can pay so much to jump to level 50, and then you can start doing the which is the end of, you know, 2.0, the first release after they destroyed everything in 1.0, because that game sucked so bad. Like, version 1 of Final Fantasy 14 sucked so bad that they literally just pulled a giant moon onto the planet and killed everything, pretty much killed everybody except for a handful of people that were sent to another, like, time or another dimension or whatever, and then those are the people that are the ones that you're helping, they're helping you save the day now.
Sounds worse than Destiny.
Yeah, it was pretty bad at first, and so but then they hired a new director, and so he came in for A Realm Reborn is what the 2.0 was called, and that was basically when I jumped on to play. And so if you pay for one jump potion, you can jump to the end level for A Realm Reborn, mm-hmm. Which is level 50, or you can pay more and jump to level 60, which is the end of the Heaven's Ward, the first major expansion. And then this new expansion is called Stormblood, and in that they added a couple classes, and just it's more of a some of the areas are more like Japanese themed Asian housing and stuff, so it'll be kind of interesting to see as I get more into the story and kind of work on leveling up my character where it goes. So, but you know, this game is definitely listening to one of the podcasts that, you know, talk about the game called Phoenix Down Radio. They kind of mentioned a few times how this game, unlike a lot of MMOs, is very story driven. You know, they make you kind of care about why you're doing things, and they make you feel like you're actually the hero, and then everybody else in the game is just, you know, there to be your supporting cast and to help you be the hero. So, you know, I don't think that this story will suck. It's just a matter of giving it a couple days to let everybody kind of pass through there, and Square Enix to fix whatever problems they're having on their end before I jump into it too far.
Okay, because I know I was browsing the PlayStation Network, and this game was under free demos, and when I clicked on it, it said it would charge me $20. So what is that, like the boost pack? Is that like the booster pack to get up to level 50, 60? Is that, because I was actually looking at downloading it, because I remember you saying you could play for free.
Did you look at the original A Realm Reborn, or did you try to download Stormblood?
I don't know. It was just under free games. I was looking
okay.
At.
See, I'm not sure exactly, because I was told it was free, so I don't know why it said that it would charge you, but I guess maybe if you do the, I don't know. I have to look into that and see, but
more research ahead.
Yay, homework. But yeah, there should be a free 30-day trial, and the game should be at least free to download for the 30-day trial. So I don't know why they would charge you to download and then play for 30 days for free to see if you would even want to do it.
We'll figure
it out. But if you do play, and once you start paying, then like Destiny, they have a buddy system, but you get more stuff, and it's kind of based on how long, either how long or how many people you get to jump into the game and play, because the more people pay, the more stuff they get, and the more stuff you get, until the point where you get some exclusives. There's a lot of exclusive stuff that you can only get by having people basically be your buddy in the game.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, I know there's a lot of cool stuff they do with that piece, so I'm going to definitely look into it, because obviously Destiny doesn't come out for another 2.5 months, so there's a pretty big dry spell.
Right. And so I know, like, they were selling the A Realm Reborn for $20 now, and it does come with like 30 days of basically free play. So I don't know if there was just a server, like a store issue, or if that's the new normal now. And I just didn't read that they had changed that, even though they had announced not just a couple months ago that they were, you know, changing the free demo play. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Definitely.
Speaking of fancy games, and so I was browsing Amazon looking at stuff, and a game came up that caught my interest, and I think it's caught the interest of a few others, so we definitely had to get it on the show. The game is called Saran Kugura Peach Beach Splash, and it is literally a third-person shooter game where you are an anime girl in a bikini at a water park shooting people with water guns. The gameplay looks really fast-moving. It looks hilarious. There's a lot of fan service. There's a lot of different weapons that you could use. It looks just an all-around, like, a fun game to play. Am I right, Danny?
Right. I mean, even to the point where the collector's edition is called No Shirt, No Shoes, All Service. I mean, they're acknowledging the super fan-serviness of this game. And, you know, there was a previous game that was a fighting game, and it's an anime as well that is available on, you know, our favorite app that hopefully one day will sponsor us, VRV.
Verb. VRV, we talk about you like every week. Please sponsor us. Be our friend. Give us free shit.
Or just like, I don't know, acknowledge that we're acknowledging you and, you know, pat our backs, we'll pat yours by giving you money and watching shows on your channel.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean,
I was going to say, it was interesting, like, the story had, like, it has some interesting parts on it. There's different leveling up systems. The special edition comes with a CD, comes with a couple different special outfits for it. But again, it just looks like a fun, fast-paced shooter game that's going to be pretty fun to play with everybody.
Right. It looks a little MOBA-ish, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, even though, like, that seems to be the new hot right now, is everybody wants to make their own MOBA-style game. But I guess, you know, you have the added draw of, you know, squirting chicks with water. And it was just watching the gameplay, you know, there's, like, different power-ups and shields, and the different guns have different powers, and, you know, as you shoot them, you know, the opponents, you can see their health bar decreasing. So, I don't know. I mean, it definitely looks like there's a lot of, like, thought and effort put into this game other than just throwing out half-naked chicks and water guns.
I mean, we're good with the second part enough, but it's awesome that they came through and actually thought about this as a serious shooter game.
Right. It's a serious shooter game wrapped in the least serious paper ever.
I don't know why it took so long for this game to be thought up as. You know what I mean? Like, why didn't we have this earlier?
Well, I mean, we've had, like, different, you know, hot chicks at the beach, but there was a lot of, like, you know, there was the Dead or Alive beach volleyball and, you know, just other excuses to get chicks in bikinis. But I don't know, man. Like, the concept of a water fight, that blows my mind that nobody thought of it previously.
I know. It's a shame, but you know what? It happens.
Well, better late than never is what I say. maybe they had to perfect the water splash coinciding with the jiggle technology of the breasticles. And they didn't want to release it early and just have everybody be disappointed by, that's not how a boob acts when water gun hits it. I'm never going to play this game again.
Exactly. Oh, man. It's going to be... That one comes out in the end of August, so a little bit of a treat to play before Destiny 2 comes out. But, I mean, I don't know. I really hope there's a demo for it before we get to play it, before it comes out, just to start getting a taste. But I doubt it that we'll get that lucky.
I don't know. I mean, this seems like a game, like, you're either, like, sold and all in and are going to buy, or you're sold and all in and going to, like, protest and boycott. And, you know, in the same way that I can't think of the name of the game now, where you had to, like, fight monsters and rip off their clothes and then they caught on fire and died.
I know exactly what game you're talking about, but I sure as hell
can't remember. Akiba's Trip.
Yes. Oh, my God. That game is so... Well, that game was a very fun play. I haven't been able to pick it up again. And I've heard disappointing things about the sequel that's out right now. It's very, like, they kind of half-assed it and didn't give it everything that you loved out of the first one.
Right, well, I just heard they changed the combat, but my real quick, my point on the talking about Akiba's Trip is there was a reviewer that came out and called in his review called the game a rape simulator. Like, you know, he was in his review, he was talking about how you play a young man and the goal of the game is to rip clothes off of women. And he basically made it seem like A, you only fought females and ripped their clothes off, and B, you did it for no other reason other than the good times of ripping clothes off of women. And so, you know, either he didn't play the game at all,
or just blatantly lied.
He didn't play the game at all and only went by what somebody else described to him, or he just blatantly lied and wanted to try to get some sort of, you know, social justice warrior or be some sort of hero to the ladies by printing this review. I don't know. Maybe they didn't pay him enough money to give him a positive review. Maybe they didn't give him enough good enough sex, like in Gamergate. But I don't know. I mean, this game definitely seems like one of those that somebody's going to come out and try to, like, condemn to earn brownie points with somebody somewhere, whether or not what they say is true or not.
Exactly. It'll be all right, though. We'll still have fun.
I was going to say, yes. Yeah, so, if they're condemning it, that can only mean it's probably going to be a really fun game to play. It's not one you can take seriously, you know, at all when you're, you know, running around half naked and shooting water guns at each other. I mean, that's real life. Like, when have you ever taken a water gun fight in real life seriously? Why would you take one in a video game seriously either?
That's a fair point. A fair point indeed, sir. I've actually been watching a new anime on my favorite location and app to ever play, hint, wink, wink, pay me please, BRB. It is called World End. And of course, you know, I love long Japanese names for movies. So it's called World End. What do you do at the end of the world? Are you busy? Will you save us? So, kind of a mouthful, but...
kind of. I mean, even if they broke that like into an acronym, like SCUBA, that's like anti-disestablishmentarianism. I mean, there's like way too many letters in that name.
Yeah, exactly. But it's an anime I've been watching for quite a few weeks, and it's really about like the end of civilization, and it's kind of about like the aftermath, and like there's weird animal creatures around, and the main you find out in the first episode that the main character is the last human. And he's like, and they're called like a different word, and people fear him because like he brought on basically the people destroyed the world, and everybody's afraid, and they have to live on islands way above. And it's just basically what he's doing is he's training these girls to go fight with these swords that humans made before they died. And it just there's a lot of bad things happening. I know like the first probably five episodes is really about the bonding of the teams and stuff, just like you normally see, just like people fighting, I don't trust you, blah, blah, blah. And it's turned into a very like awesome love story. And literally like I watched episode 11 last night, and then it was just like, final episode is next. And it literally shows something. And you're just like, holy shit, like, it's mic drop moment. Like, the next episode is going to be so phenomenal next week. I can't wait to watch it. But it just sucks because, like, I'm in that cliffhanger mode now. I've been avoiding, like, Attack on Titan and all these other animes so I can wait for season 2 to finish so I can just watch them all. And I just set myself up for for this own trap by watching that episode. And now I have to wait a full week with this cliffhanger.
Man, that sucks. I mean, I guess it's better. At least it's only a week. You don't have to wait like a couple months, like when we first watched that one anime, and we realized it was three episodes. And
yeah, Ancient Magnus.
Ancient Magnus Bride, yes. Where it's like, I can't wait for the next episode to come out next week, and it didn't come out. And then next week, and then we looked up, and it's like, oh yeah, that's not coming out until like October.
Yeah, it not so much fun. But I definitely heard that they were going to actually look at redoing that into more of a regular anime. series, but we'll have to see.
Well, that sounds pretty pretty awesome to say. I guess if you can remember the whole title, then you're far more impressive than I, because I just barely remembered World End. And then I kind of went off on thinking of the Simon Pegg movie at World's End, which made me think, wow, I heard they're making another Hot Fuzz, which I don't know. I just got lost down the tangent wormhole of random thoughts.
That's fair. And to be honest, no, I did not remember that whole title. I do just, I have it up on my internet so I could see it and read it off perfectly. So, shame to me for just trying to be the honest to everybody. I'm not that smart. I can't remember things like this. So, I definitely want to give everybody the full title, though.
Well, I mean, that is true. I mean, no one really thought you were that smart, because if they did, then you probably would have picked a different podcast partner.
That's fair. That's a fair statement. So I've also been watching. So I went down to Atlanta last week and I was bored, and I, on the subreddit High School DxD, it said that the uncensored version of the anime is now on VRV, or NKA, it's on the Crunchyroll and Funimation. So I decided to give this a rewatch because I really liked it, and I'm caught up in the books. I'm still waiting for issue 9 to come out. I know there was a delay in the mangas, and that's coming out finally. But man, dude, I've been watching the English version this time around because, you know, I just kind of wanted to listen to the story and while I do other things, because I've already seen it. But man, it's so hilarious. Like, I can't believe, like, that I could deal with the English version of this. Because usually I watch mine dubbed. And it was so awesome to actually listen to it in English. And it was just as funny as the other one. And I think that some of the voices are just perfect. And the guy that does Issa, his character is just spot on, and the way he talks to himself and gets super pervy is just hilarious.
So you prefer the voice acting?
You could really go either way. I think it's just, we do have, I know some people that just refuse to read TV, as it's basically, you're reading TV basically when you're doing the dub version, but I think it's good for either or. If you watch it on Crunchyroll, you'll get the Japanese version. If you watch it on Funimation, you're gonna get the English version. But at least that way, everybody could watch it, and it's a ridiculously over the top sexual harem, and it's like the biggest, like, it's like the most one of the most raunchiest ones I've ever watched, and it's hilarious. The funny thing is it actually does have a pretty serious storyline with the war between the Angels, Devils, and Fallen Angels. But it's just so interesting, like, you literally have, like, serious plots at the end of the world, and then just, like, the next thing you know, it's, like, some crazy part where there's, like, some pervy part that breaks up the seriousness of the show. So it's just it's very fun, and the main character is motivated to be like a harem king, and he wants to be surrounded by the female devils, and he's like, and there's just so many goofy parts to his motivation and to that stigma, to where he wants to be like that harem king, and he gets super motivated to like fight, and he beats people because of that, and it's just a fun anime to watch.
Right, and I mean, for me, like, it depends, I guess. Sometimes I'll watch TV while I'm, you know, eating to, you know, save time to, but it's kind of hard to, you know, read and eat, but
yeah.
If you're just watching TV, I guess, you know, it means you can't play on your phone too much if you're having to read. That's the only difference. It's not very hard to, unless you're watching it on, like, a phone, it's not necessarily difficult to read and watch an anime, because they don't put, like, it's not like a French film where they put like four or five, you know, lines of text on the screen at once, and you have to try to read it in the same amount of time that the character speaks it. You know, it's usually just like a line or two, and, you know, they almost give you more than enough time to read and understand what's going on.
Yeah, no, I think it's a pretty good balance. So I think it's, I think I definitely try not to, when I watch it in Japanese, I definitely try not to be eating or be distracted. And obviously, you got to be in the right mood because you know you're going to have to pay a little bit more attention than an English version. So I think it's, I could go both ways, but I think some English versions do get on my nerves to where I would never listen to it.
Right. You know, they kind of, it's like the, you know, the question asked by people who don't watch anime, if they watch, especially the Japanese version, you know, and my wife is one of them. It's like, why, when the girls talk, does it sound like every single word they say they're having an orgasm?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's just their style, man. I think it depends on the anime, too, because, like, you do not really get that from the girls in more serious ones. But usually when it's like that, it's like they're usually in a fight and getting attacked, and so it's, like, a really, like, girly moan. But sometimes, like, that moan, you're just like, did you get hurt or did you just really have fun? Like, kind of hard to tell.
Right. Well, and the other thing that's kind of hard to tell in anime, too, is, like, are they embarrassed or are they turned on? Because they're blushing, and that means both. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, you know, when the girl gets turned on, she blushes, and when a girl gets embarrassed, she blushes. So it's, but it's kind of hard to, I guess, tell without, you know, losing your PG rating if a girl is turned on. So I guess that was the agreed-upon universal way of outwardly showing that a girl is interested in or excited by a dude or another girl, depending on whatever floats her boat other than water.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just the way that embarrassment. Yeah. I think it's just the culture. I think it's just, you just have to accept it, the culture as is when they do that stuff. And as it is embarrassing, it's kind of, they're not as public about, sexual things like that, so it is like an embarrassment / turn on thing.
True, but yeah, and you know, like, you know, at least for a while, I guess the role of voice acting in anime is a little more respectable. But for a while, a lot of the actresses used pseudonyms, and so they also hid their voice. So I wonder if that's where like the orgasmic dialogue comes from. Was the original voice actresses were trying to disguise their voice, and that's just the way it came out, and then it just became tradition for anime characters to sound that way.
It could be, man. Could be. That's an interesting theory, for sure. So, Danny, I got some big, exciting news for you, man.
You're coming out of the closet?
No, there's no closet. Like, I'm not stepping out of it. You need to relax.
All right, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is stuck in the closet.
Oh, no. Today, I got to try my beer. A cold, refreshing, carbonated beer. And it was actually pretty decent, man. It was the pale ale. I followed the brewery recipe kit. I did add some. I added 10 mandarin to it. It was a very... I think the pale ale, the base, needs a little bit of tweaking for my liking. I think I need to find different hops to make it a little bit more crisp of a pale ale taste. But I didn't taste the mandarin in it, but you could tell like there was a sweetness in the beer that is abnormal for a pale ale, if you know what I mean.
Right. And anybody that bakes or cooks or anything like that, you know, they'll often like, you know, start with whatever the recipe calls for and familiarize themselves with, you know, the dish, especially if it's, you know, the first time making something along those lines. And then as the more they make it, the more they kind of just ad lib and change the recipe to their own personal tastes. And so that definitely is something I've, you know, heard about going on with brewing. And that's how, you know, you get like the special one-off beers where they just, hey, you know what? It works when you do it this way. Let's try doing it that way instead.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I've learned is really the first 6 months of this process is really going to be making that base beer that I like with the pale ale and the IPA and maybe a porter or and then getting the base good, and then starting to play around with the flavor piece. Because I definitely want to make more unique and more interesting kind of beers, and really bring out some fantastic flavors as I kind of get into what I expect my beers to taste like from my with my personality and what I want to do. But it's gonna
right,
take, yeah, it's gonna be a lot of work. But I mean, yeah, right now in the beginning stage, I gotta find my base.
Yeah, because you know, what's the point of making something basically for your own personal enjoyment if you're just making the generic version that everybody else and their mom can make? I mean, you might as well just go to, you know, the local grocery store and buy whatever macro brew that also makes the same recipe that you were following, and save yourself some time and effort.
Exactly. It makes sense. That totally makes sense, and I agree with what you say on that piece. I think my next step is going to be buying some smaller fermenter tanks. So I'm going to do like a big batch, like a 5-gallon batch, and then break those into like 1-gallon or 2-gallon second fermenters, and then use those little ones to really mess with some of the flavoring of the beer. So that's when I'm going to go, hey, here's, for this gallon, I'm going to use two oranges, and then like in the next one, I'm going to use 3 oranges, and really start playing way around with some of those tastings.
Right, because that way, at least, you know, if you mess up, you only have a relatively small amount either to drink or just wasted, versus if you experimented on the whole 5 gallons at once and kind of just basically killed all the effort you did for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and that's really how I feel with this piece. Like, it's really, like, I really wish that I would have done it sooner now, especially with the pale ale, and really pushed to add more mandarin in a few of the different gallons to really get that range. And then next week, I'll be trying the IPA, and that is a straight base IPA. The only thing I'm concerned about, though, Danny, is that IPA really only has a little bit of more malt than this pale ale, and it only has a 1/2 ounce more of hops. So I imagine, like, I would be really surprised if the hops, like, are that much better. But you know what it could be is just the type of hops might have a better aroma and a more powerful punch, and maybe that's the difference between the pale ale and the IPA. Maybe it is the hops versus just the amount of hops.
Right. I know, like, you know, when you different breweries, you know, they talk about their IPAs and they talk about the different hops they use, and that's a big key to, you know, there's, you know, a handful of different hops, and they'll say, well, we're using, you know, these hops, or we'll use this one mixed with these ones. And so the people that are really into IPAs definitely know, you know, the hops by name and the flavor profile and the aromas. And so, you know, it's more about what hops you use with IPAs especially. But I don't know, man, that like 1/2 ounce more seems pretty weak. I mean, I know, you know, going on different brewery tours and how much the amount of hops that they add to some of their double and triple IPAs just seems like way more than you added. So I don't know if that's just going to be like, maybe you made a British IPA or an East Coast IPA where it's not necessarily about the hop front forward flavor, but more like a residual back taste of the hops.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about tasting, is what's that flavor taste like. And then, all right, and then I definitely, for my next IPA, starting to play around with dry hopping in the second fermentation stage. And really what dry hopping is after you cook your beer and after you let it sit in the main fermentation, that's where you get most of your alcohol. When you transfer all that liquid and try to get rid of that gunk into the second fermenter, you add more hops into that piece. So that's what I'm really going to look at exploring in my second batch for my IPA, as well as tweaking up some of the flavor profile with the hops, depending on how this IPA tastes.
Right, definitely. That would sounds like that would definitely add the hops to the forefront of the flavor, as opposed to, you know, you get the hops aftertaste, kind of like, I guess, with your orange, where you didn't necessarily get the orange profile as a flavor, but you got the orange traits as far as the sweetness as a profile of your beer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Have you been trying anything new lately?
Yeah, I just on the bottle shop again, you know, between VRV and La Bodega, the bottle shop out here by me, you know, we mentioned those places more than enough that we're only costing ourselves money by continuing to mention them for free. But, and on a quick side note, you know, it's bad that when you go to a liquor store bad enough that the person that's in charge of ordering the beer recognizes you and your wife at Stater Brothers, the local grocery store.
Hi, my favorite customer. How are you?
Yes. So, I follow them on the Facebook, and last week they posted they had a new beer in by a brewery in LA called Solark, S-O-L-A-R-C, and it's called Shower Beer. And I guess it's their first ever can release. But it's called it's a blonde ale with oats, but it's steeped in coffee and black tea. So it's, you know, Ballast Point has a beer called Calm Before the Storm, which I'm pretty sure you tried, correct?
Yes, it was pretty good.
So basically it tastes like Calm Before the Storm, but then it kind of has a black tea, like, taste mixed in there. I don't know. It's like, it doesn't overpower, but it's not overpowered, but it doesn't necessarily, it tastes really good. It's like a breakfast beer that you could have as you take your morning shower. And it's not very powerful. It's only 5.5%. It was a 4-pack of 16-ounce cans, and it was only like 15 or 16 bucks. So like for the value, it was actually a pretty good price. I'm like, and I guess it's the first time they've ever canned it. So she wasn't sure, because I asked her if it was a limited release, a seasonal release. And she wasn't sure, but you know, after I did some research and saw that it was her first ever can release, that's definitely why she didn't know. She thought it might've been a once a year thing, but
yeah.
It makes sense now that with them, you know, doing their first ever canning of a beer, that it wouldn't have shown up on her order form before. So I'm hoping this is a regular in stock all the time beer, because this is something that, you know, you could pretty much kind of drink, you know, not quite like the Leinenkugels where you can necessarily drink it by a pool, but it's not heavy either, like an IPA or a stout or anything, but it's somewhere in between, I guess.
No, that definitely. That sounds pretty fantastic and would be a nice, something nice to drink as well. I'm definitely interested in trying that bad boy.
Yeah, I'm hoping maybe when you come out to L.A. in a couple weeks, it's not too far away from where we're hanging out, and maybe they'll still have it on tap, and we can swing by and get ourselves a pint or two of it to both get us drunk and keep us awake.
So we're going to need it with all the events going on at Anime Expo. Speaking of Anime Expo, we will be out there in about 2 weeks. Anime Expo kicks off on July 1st, so we are right around the corner. We will be having a special episode of We Are Adult Show featuring our experience at Anime Expo and all the extra events that we did. Hopefully, we will be not super hungover, super tired, super grouchy, bitchy, and all this sorts. And we'll give you guys a really good end cap of how everything went.
Exactly. You know, between the, you know, whatever's going on for the actual expo itself, our maid cafe show that we're going to go check out that neither of us have ever done, and that Sunday going out and seeing MC Chris in concert, we definitely have a full calendar that weekend.
Nice. All right, everybody. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys for hanging out with us for another episode. Please, if you're going to be at Anime Expo, hit us up. We'll definitely looking at saying hi to you guys. Like us on Facebook. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your enemies. Probably more your enemies. About the show and get them on board. We're on iTunes. We're on Podbean. We're on Facebook. And we have been very good at being persistent on posting on Fridays. So every Friday we'll have our new episode. Danny, per usual, man, it was fun.
As usual, sir, it was. See everybody next week.